Well, good morning again. God is so good. So I was, this week I was on my way to work one morning and, excuse me, K-Love was on the radio and I was listening. They were having an interview with a celebrity or something. I don't remember names and stuff, and I'm sure it was somebody that you all would know. But anyway, they asked, it was a fellow that they were interviewing, and they asked him, because he said, I haven't always walked with the Lord. And so they asked him the question, what is your life like now? And he said, his answer was, I just want to run to Jesus. And I thought, how awesome would that be if every time something came up in our lives that we needed help with, we would run to Jesus? What would it be like if each of us would run to Jesus every morning when we get up? If the church would run to Jesus? And I thought, what a great testimony that would be to be able to run to Him instead of going our own way, trying to do it ourselves. And so we're gonna look at some scriptures today that talk about that, and it gets down to trusting Him, being confident that He can take care of every need that we have. You know, He's our God. He loves us more than anything we know. I don't think we understand the love of Jesus Christ, the way that He loves us. So I titled the lesson today, I Run to Jesus. So that's what we're going to be looking at. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You this morning that we can run to You, that You're waiting there with open arms, wanting us to come to share the day with You. So Lord, as we look at Your word today, I pray, Lord, that You'll speak through me. Lord, that I'll not get in the way of your speaking, but Lord, that You'll give us all ears to hear what You're saying to the church today. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I was thinking about running to Jesus and ending up in His arms, so when Patsy and I started dating, this was one of the little things that I thought about. Because I was just trying to get a picture of running to Jesus, you know, and him being there with open arms, just waiting for me to enter into His arms. And so when Patsy and I started dating, I suppose it was probably 2 or 3 months into our dating experience, I remember when I would come to her house and come up the drive, she would come bursting through the front door and running out to me and just run and jump in my arms and give me a big embrace. And I thought, that's probably what Jesus wants. I thought, you know, that was pretty cool. That was just an awesome way to greet my girlfriend at the time. And what would that be like if we would just run to Jesus and just end up in His arms no matter what's going on? We're going to start and... I started in my, I've got a exhaustive concordance at home that it has, so it's King James, but it has every verse that has the word run in it. So I started looking down through those, and it started out in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and if you want to turn there, we're not going to be there very long, but that verse is awesome. Let's see, right before Isaiah. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. It's kind of a small little book. It's a little hard to find because there's only a few pages of it. In my concordance, it said CA before that. So I couldn't figure out what CA was. I don't know what book starts with CA. And so I went back to the beginning of my Strong's Concordance, and it It was CA was between Ecclesiastes and Isaiah, and I thought, well, that's Song of Solomon or Song of Songs. Why is it CA? Well, I looked it up. I looked, and it said canticles. What's canticle? Well, it's a song. It's either a song or a chant, a hymn taken from the Bible, it says. So this Song of Solomon's, or Song of Songs here is, it's really a love story between Christ and the church. I'm not going to read through this whole thing, but if you want to really get an idea how much this love relationship between Christ and the church is, this is a good book to go to. And it said there's a lot of controversy about the book of Song of Songs because of the, it's very explicit. I mean, it's just, it's pretty cool, a pretty cool book. But verse 4 says, it says it this way in the King James that I have at home, "Draw me away, we will run after you." In verse 4 there, my NIV says, "Take me away with you, let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers." So that's the idea, but that's where I got the idea to run to him, because he draws us to himself with his love, or by his love he draws us to himself. Jamie, the verses that you shared there this morning just really get a good job of teaching us to trust him. And that's really what this is about, is learning to trust Jesus, to just know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's always there for us, that he's waiting for us to come into his arms so that he can help us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 for a little bit. 1 Corinthians 9, we're going to be looking at verses 24 to 27. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." So this is Paul talking to the Corinthian church here, and he's telling them, I'm not just running around aimlessly, but I do this on purpose. I train my body. I control what I do. Self-control is what it's really talking about, being in control of what we do and making ourselves go to the Lord and run to him as he's waiting there for us, and so we can get a crown that will last forever. So how do we learn how to trust God enough that we'll run to him no matter what? How do we learn to trust him? How do we come up with that kind of a love relationship that we're just willing to run into his arms, just to run to him? Whether things are good or whether we're in a pickle, sometimes we get in a pickle and we need him desperately right now. I want for him to be the first choice that we have when we get into a pickle, or when we're just wanting to be with the Lord. our love story with Jesus unfolds in John chapter 14, and we're going to go there for a little while now. You all know that John, in the end of John there, 14, 15, 16, 17, is all Jesus talking to the church. And this John 14 is talking about, he's talking to the disciples, which that is what we are, as disciples of Jesus Christ. And I want to begin in verse 15 today, in John 14, 15. This, my NIV here's title says, Jesus Promises the Holy Spirit. And he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know me. But you know him, for he lives with you and is in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. But my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So Jesus lives in us. The Father, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. He makes us home with us. So he's there all the time. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. There's that word again. He doesn't want us to be afraid of him, even though we found out. So we were going through in Sunday school the book of Proverbs, and it talks in there about fearing the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. When we learn to fear the Lord, to reverence him, that's just the beginning of wisdom. That's where we learn to trust him. We learn to trust him. And he says there in verse 27 is just going to be our theme verse today. He says, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So it's easy to fear. That's one of the ways that Satan gets us and works on us, is through fear. But we're not supposed to fear, because that I did not have any idea that fear not was used that many times in the Bible. I know it's there a lot, but that's, like Jamie said, one for each day. So if you want a different verse each day to fear not, well, just go through and find them all. Psalm 23, I got to go there. So David probably So it says in the Bible that he was a man after God's own heart. And David, as you know, got in a lot of pickles. He did some things that he shouldn't have, as you all know. But he loved the Lord, and God loved him. And in Psalms 23, I love this psalm. And I don't know, it's one of my favorites. And it talks about the Lord is our shepherd. And Matt has talked to us so much about being a shepherd, about keeping sheep. And I love that he is our shepherd. And he starts out there in verse 1. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, and he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," or the darkest valley, my subnotes say here, "even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love," or goodness and mercy, "will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Eternity with Jesus. Hallelujah. That's our ultimate goal. You know, this question this morning, do we look forward to death, or do we fear death? And I'm the place where I look forward to it. I'm ready. I've lived long enough, and I look forward to being with Jesus, to spending time with him and seeing him face to face. And so it was easy for me to answer that question, because I just do. I look forward to my time with the Lord. And so it was easy for me to answer that question. But David is just a good reference for someone who trusts in God. I want to go over to Psalms 25 now as well. I'm not going to read all of Psalms 25, but I want to begin in verse 4 here. David says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperity. His descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress. Take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame. for I take refuge in you. My integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Redeem Israel, O God, for all their troubles. So David always went to the Lord every time that he came across something that was a hardship for him. He went to the Lord and ran into his arms. The other example I have is Job. And I just want to go to Job for just a little bit. The last chapter. So just back here at the end, the beginning of Psalms. Is Job 42. I want to finish up there today. So as you know, the story of Job, he was a righteous man. Job was just somebody who loved the Lord and walked with him, and still Satan began to harass him and buffet him and took everything that he had, basically. And Job just continued to seek God, to run to him. You know, if you look through the book of Job, it's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of time that he was in anguish. He was in just, he was hurt. He was sick. And I want to begin in chapter 42, verse 1. I'm sorry. The Lord had just got done talking to Job, and this verse is just two chapters previous to 42, and Job replied to the Lord. He says, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? And that's the way the Lord started talking to Job here in verse 40. It says, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. And so he goes on there. He says, you ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you will answer me, or you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. 'Cause Job talked pretty harsh to the Lord. He was pretty hard on God when he was. I mean, he was in the pits of despair. He was really at his wit's end. And it says in verse 7, after the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So now take seven bulls and seven rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. So, verse 12 says, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And so Job, because he didn't curse the Lord in his state, but blessed him. The Lord blessed Job's latter life more than the first, he said. So learn to trust God. Learn to walk with him wholeheartedly. Run to Jesus. Run into his arms and begin your love relationship with him. So today, if any of you have needs, well, we'd love to pray with you as we sing our final song together. Well, we'll be here to pray with you. And remember the ones that I mentioned earlier to pray for them today and this week as well. Thank you.